Praise God. My, it's been a good place to be tonight. Appreciate the presence of the Lord and the songs tonight that just edify and build us up and tell us about Jesus. Amen. He's wonderful tonight, church. He is all that we need in this hour. I love revival. I love that because we focus on the Lord and we push it all out for a while. We're living in a time where people are so busy and so many things are happening. But you know, I read where the Bible said one thing is needful. Amen? One thing is needful. And I believe we need to get our focus back on things that are above. Colossians 3 says, if you've been risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Praise God. Nothing can satisfy your soul but Jesus. Amen. I just been sitting back and drinking in. That's where I go. I just drink in and just enjoy the presence of God. And He is just so very, very good. It's a privilege to be with you tonight. And appreciate Brother Dave and the pastors here in this congregation. And it didn't look like the same place when I pulled up. I had to look twice, but I knew I had to be in the right area. But God is blessing you and giving you a place to use for His glory. And it's wonderful. And I thank God for that. I covet your prayers tonight. If you have your Bible, open to the book of St. Mark in chapter number 10. And we're going to be going to about three different verses, three different places in the Word of God. So if you want to keep your Bible open, and I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading. That way you can stretch your legs for a minute and also reverence the Lord's Word. And so St. Mark chapter number 10 and verse number 46. The Bible said, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight, and he followed Jesus in the way." What a beautiful story that is. What a use for a thought tonight, opportunity, opportunity. Can you pray? Will you pray with me tonight? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great privilege we have to be here tonight. Your precious Holy Spirit that we have felt in our hearts tonight, Lord God, truly we have been blessed. We thank you, Lord, for this church and this congregation, Lord. And we thank you for all the visitors that are here tonight. We ask that the Holy Spirit would continue to have His way, Father, in everything that is said and everything that is done. And Lord, we pray for that one tonight, maybe that's here lost without God. We ask that the Holy Spirit would bring them to a decision tonight. And Lord, that they might call on your name, just like Bartimaeus did, Lord, for his sight, but also for spiritual sight. We ask you tonight, Lord, for your help to be able to preach the Word of God. You know how helpless we are, Father, without you, Lord, and we're so dependent, Father. But we ask for your divine help and unction to preach the Word. We pray you'd speak to every heart in the area of their need tonight. God, we ask you to grant strength where it's needed, healing where it's needed, comfort where it's needed, deliverance, whatever it might be. Let people receive just what they need because, Father, you freely give. You freely give to all those that call on you tonight. Help us now, Lord, and speak to us, we pray. And we'll give you all the glory and praise. We ask it, Father, in Jesus' divine name. And we receive it together. And everybody said, amen, amen and amen. You may be seated if you want to. Glory to God. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about opportunity. And the Bible does speak about opportunity. In Galatians 6, 9, and 10, I'll just read this just to get started. And Paul said, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Praise God. So opportunity is definitely something that God gives us. And I'll just read the definition. I like to read definitions of word before we get into the message tonight. But the word opportunity means an occasion. An occasion. It means a set or a proper time. It means a due time, and it can mean a season. It also can mean of an hour of time as it brings forth its several events. Now that's kind of seems a little complicated. But in other words, it's a time that God gives you. It's a door that God opens up for you, and you've got to decide what you're going to do with it. Amen. In this life, you know, as Christians, even after we're saved, and we surely want to touch on salvation tonight, because that's really, as the brother said, where it all really begins. But there are many times that God opens opportunities to us, and if we're not careful, we miss them. If we're not watching for them, if we're not waiting for them and believing God, sometimes they can slip by. In other words, an opportunity to witness to someone. God may bring them in your path at just the right time. Are you hearing me, church? Just the right time. And God has put it on your heart to share something, and if you're not careful in the busyness of life, if we're not careful, we'll miss a lost opportunity. Amen. I'm glad God is merciful to us and helps us when we fail, and we can ask Him, Lord, give us another chance to witness to that person. I was in a service sometime. I'm going to get into word here in a minute with God's help, but I was in a service preaching down at Parkersburg a couple years ago. And I was just back down there the other night, right on 47, just before you get to 77, if you know this area. Great bunch of people. We had a wonderful time. Brother, you were down there. But a couple years ago or so, I was preaching down there, and I believe the Lord spoke something to my heart. And He said this: there is no such thing as luck. Now that sounds kind of odd, you know. There is no such thing as luck. But that was such a revelation to me. And I began to understand what the Lord was trying to speak to me, especially for Christians. How many knows you're either blessed or you're not? You're either walking with God or you're not walking with God. And I believe the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so we need to be careful in that to understand when opportunity arises, we've got to walk through that door that God gives us. Can you say amen? And so I want you to keep that thought in mind. I believe that there is no such thing as luck. Boy, you was really lucky today. I was really lucky. My car broke down and somebody stopped. No, 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 no. You were not lucky. You were not lucky. God made a way, and God provided that need for you, and God blessed you. Well, you know, I went to the hospital, and God gave me an opportunity to witness to somebody. Boy, I sure was lucky. No, no, you wasn't lucky. Amen. God set that thing up. He orchestrated that. Come on, church. Amen. Our God is an awesome God, a mighty God. Amen. That's how He brought you into the family of God. He knew how to reach you. He knew what to do to draw you unto Christ. Come on. I remember, I'll just say this, I remember back when I first got saved, actually before I was saved, and I've told the story so many times. I said, you know, I was kind of a little bit on the wild side, I guess you could say, and I don't brag about that, but it's really true, and I was going in the wrong direction quick, Brother Dave. And I thought there was really a one main restraining force in my life. And it was my daddy. Amen. I was afraid my daddy would find out and I'd be in trouble. Anybody know what I mean? And I said, he never read the book from Dr. Spock about not correcting kids. I don't think he saw that. And so anyway, I thought, you know, I'm 17 and I'm just going to turn 18 in January. And I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. And so anyway, turned 18 in January, got saved in February. I mean, God got a hold of me. Thank God. Amen. But I remember how God orchestrates and moves and what He does, folks, even for one precious soul. One soul is so precious to God. Amen. You are so precious to God. That lost sinner out there is very precious to God. Amen. But I remember my grandfather died, and he had been in a minister. Amen. And in that funeral, the pastor that preached, Brother Carol McCullough, some of you know
know Pastor McCullough. I was saved under his ministry. I love Brother Carroll. Amen. But anyway, God touched my brother in that funeral. I never felt much of anything. Amen. But my brother got under conviction. In a couple of weeks, he came to the Lord. Amen. And I remember, because God had begun dealing with me by then. And I remember the Holy Spirit. I didn't understand it. But he said, "This is your chance. This is your opportunity. Your brother Mike has come in. Now it's your time." I can't explain all that. All you say, does God really speak to people? Well, I read all through the Bible where he does. Amen. Come on. Amen. And within a week or so, I came to the Lord. Oh, thank God for opportunity. Oh, this revival may be somebody's opportunity. This service tonight, it may be somebody's opportunity to come to Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, in our church, there's a young lady, and I actually married, really, I'm telling you, I'm getting old or something, I guess, but I married her dad and mother. Amen. And then I married her and her husband. I'm thinking, I'm working on third generations here, fellas. And so I don't know. I started young, I guess is what it was. But this girl had come to our church every Sunday, Brother Dave. She's a precious young lady. I love their family. And you know what? I did not know she was not saved. I did not know it. I knew she never testified. I knew she never said anything, but I didn't know she was not saved. But anyway, they had a special service in town. And it wasn't in our church, but a special service, and they went to it, her husband and her, and they both got saved in that meeting. And they told me, somebody said, "You know they got saved." I won't tell you their names, but you know they got saved. And I thought, well, Lord, I thought they were saved. But you know what? They weren't saved. Can I tell you something? You've got to be born again. Amen. You've got to have an experience with God that you know 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 that you are saved. Hallelujah. And I was privileged, thank God, to baptize them a week or two later. So anyway, I'm glad God knows what he's doing. And so maybe this meeting will be something that God is going to use. I know he's already blessing us tonight, but I am thankful for that. And so let's look at this really quickly. I don't want to keep you all night, but I want us to get, with God's help, I think, a thought tonight. This scripture, this story about blind Bartimaeus, we know the story, amen. The Bible said, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho," notice it just said, "they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho." It is seemingly just a window. It doesn't talk about any other event or anything else that had happened, but he came to Jericho and he went out of Jericho. In the meantime, there's a man named Bartimaeus, and he's a blind man. And the only way blind people could support themselves was with begging. It wasn't a shameful act. It was what you had to do. Come on. And they had a beggar's garment, if I understand right, that they would lay out in front. They called it a beggar's garment. I'm sure they used it to stay warm at night also. And they would lay that out in front of them, and they would wait for alms or something to drop in, and then they could just gather it up. How many sees that could make sense? And so he hears a commotion. He hears a commotion. Amen. You know, sometimes in revival, there's a little commotion. Somebody gets happy sometimes. Somebody shouts once in a while. Come on now. Somebody tears might run down their face. Somebody might rejoice in the Lord. Somebody might say amen. Come on. Hallelujah. And so he hears a commotion and the crowd is going by. And he wants to know what it is, because he don't know what's going on. He can't see. And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Oh, hallelujah. He's here tonight, church. He's here in this place. Amen. How many knows the Bible said God is a spirit. He's in this place tonight. And he began to cry out, "Amen, Son of David, have mercy on me." And that's talking about the descendant from David. That's what he's talking about. Amen, have mercy on me. He knows he has a window of opportunity. He has an opportunity. He doesn't know if he'll ever get this again. He might, but he might not. And so he begins to cry out. Oh, listen, something happens when people cry out to God. Oh, it's what we need in this hour, church. church. It's the answer in this hour, is God's people to begin to cry out unto God. And so he begins to cry out. And for some reason, they told him to be quiet. Maybe they thought he wasn't important enough. I don't know. But they told him to be quiet. But I like this guy. And it said, and he cried out so much the more. Amen. Son of David, have mercy on me. And finally, the Bible said Jesus stopped. And you know the story. They brought him to, he said, be of good comfort. He's calling you. Amen. And so Jesus asked him what he would do. And you know the story. Amen. That I might receive my sight. And he received that miracle that night, or that day. I'm sorry. He received that touch from God. And folks, you can receive that touch from God. Hallelujah. Thank God. You know, I love the scripture. I believe it's in the book of Romans where it said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Oh, that's talking about all things that pertain to life and godliness. Come on, church. And so God is a giver. He freely gives, church. That's why the Bible said in Matthew 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Oh, glory to God. We need to knock in this hour. We need to ask in this hour. Our nation's in peril right now. There's confusion everywhere. Amen. Come on, church. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. And you know what? I don't believe the answer lies with man. I believe the answer lies with God. If my people will call by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and listen and turn from our wicked ways. He said, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. Oh, I'm praying, God, touch our country. Touch our country one more time. Give us revival in our communities. Lord, shake us up a little bit. Amen. We've grown lax. We've grown sometimes lazy. Amen. In our walk with God. But how many knows God knows how to get our attention? Amen. Glory to God. But I like this guy. Opportunity. Had not. Can you say amen? Amen. I found out, brother, when the water's troubled, it's time to get in. Can you say amen? Well, I don't know what people will think if I happen to get happy. Well, don't worry about it. They're probably get happy. If you get happy, they're probably going to get happy. Amen. But listen, an opportunity, a door was open for this man, and he walked through it. He walked through it. How many would agree with that tonight? Now, I've got two other stories, so I'm going to move right on quickly, if that's all right. Turn also to the book of Luke, chapter number 17. Luke chapter number 17. Let's read just a little bit more about this. In Luke 17, 11, the Bible said, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem. This is talking about Jesus. As he went to Jerusalem, that is where he is going, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Here it is again. They're crying out to God. Something about God's people when they cry out to God. Amen. Again and again in the Psalms, you see where David had cried out to God. Amen. In Psalm 107, I love to preach on 107 because it talks about several different things that people are going through. And it said, and they cried to the Lord. Amen. And he heard them. God's still answering prayer, church. He's still answering the cries of his children. Sometimes we have not because we ask not. When we get serious with God, God gets serious with us. When we draw nigh unto God, God draws nigh unto us. Amen. When we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we're going to be filled. Can you say amen? I watch people, amen, in our church. I pastored for a good while. And I watch people and I start seeing certain ones. And now all of them love the Lord, you understand. But I see one or two and I can tell they're really seeking God. They're hungry for the Lord. They're hungry for His Word. They're testifying. And I said, watch out, buddy. Watch out. Because you're you're going to get filled. You're going to get blessed. Come on. Amen. God wants to fill us tonight. God wants us to overflow tonight. Yes, He does. Amen. It doesn't matter. The Bible said, be not drunken with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speak into yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Come on. That's for Methodist, Baptist. It's the whole group. Amen. Amen. We need more of God in our hearts and lives. That's what we need in our nation. That's what our forefathers knew. They knew that. Amen. They knew that. Praise God. And so listen, the Bible said, where were we at here? And so the lepers began to cry out, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass as they went that they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back with a loud voice. He glorified God and fell down at his on his face at his feet, Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where are the 9 that are not found to return to give glory to God, save this stranger? And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now he healed the others, but he didn't tell them, your faith has made you whole. This man, see, you know, here's the difference. Oh, there's a difference. There's a difference, I'm telling you, in this man than the 9. There's a difference. What is that difference? I said, if I could say it like this, you know, back, if I can tell you real quickly, in the Old Testament concerning Israel and Moses bringing them out of captivity. How many knows the story well? The difference was this. Israel wanted what God could do for them. Israel wanted what God could give them. And he did. He was very good. Moses wanted God. There's a difference, church. There's a difference. Come on now. Amen. There's a difference when you hunger for His presence. When you want to fellowship with Him. When you get your cup of coffee and go out on the porch. Can you say amen? Some of you, maybe you might go for a walk somewhere. You got your spots. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. And you know, people know, your wife or your husband, they know if you're off somewhere, just leave him alone, because he's off with the Lord. Amen. And so it pays to spend that time with God. But these 10 men, they cried out to God. I just wanted to touch this because they didn't have, it was an opportunity, you understand. A door had opened up. The master had come by. Glory to God. Oh, even at a distance. He touched the lepers. We know that. But even as a distance, can I tell you, Jesus is beautiful. Even as a distance, can I tell you, He's powerful. Even as a distance, when you call on His name, He can touch and change your life. Amen. Even at a distance, and maybe when your child or grandchild's out there in another state, and they need help, and maybe they're sick in body. Amen. Even at a distance, our God will touch them and help them and raise them up. Amen. And so listen, they cried out. They didn't remain silent. You know, there's a time to be quiet and there's a time not to be quiet. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. There's a time to be quiet and reverence. There is. There's a time. But man, there's a time sometimes we just got to open up our mouth and say, Lord, it's me. I need some help here. Come on, amen. You were never that shy around your dad and mother when you wanted something. You just came bowing in there. So they cried out to the Lord, and you know the story, and Jesus stopped. Man, I love that. Faith in God. Faith in God will always stop him where he is at. And he will hear the cry of his children. Can you say amen? Yeah. They said about Jesus when he was on the boat that night and there was a great storm of wind. When you study that, it was really, really bad. And the water is filling up. The boat's filling up. You know where Jesus is at? He's asleep on the pillow. He knows everything's going to be all right. But the disciples think for sure they're going down. I mean, they believe that. They know it's a bad, bad situation. But you notice this, the rain didn't wake him up. The wind didn't wake him up. The waves didn't wake him up. But when the disciples said, Lord, save us. Can I tell you, when Jesus is on your boat, it's not going down. They said, Lord, save us. And Jesus immediately stood up. Are you with me, church? Amen. Immediately heard the cry of his children. It's just like you that have little ones now. Maybe some of them are grown, but as they were growing up, You know how kids are. They'll get out and sometimes spat among themselves and carry on. You know what I'm talking about. But you know that cry. When they're hurt, I mean, that mama, she knows, that daddy, he knows. I got to get to them right now because something is wrong. Come on. Amen. And when we cry out to God, he comes to our aid. He loves us too as his children. Amen. And so Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. You know the story. And as they went, the Bible said they were healed. But one turned back to give God the glory. Oh, I love that. One turned back. Can I tell you, have we forgotten sometimes, even in our nation, to give God the glory? Amen. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. Amen. All the blessings we receive, every good and perfect gift come from above. Every single blessing of life. Think about this, young people. Every single blessing of life, everything good comes from God. I ask people, what did the devil ever do for you? He never done anything for you. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But every good and perfect gift comes from above. And we need to be reminded of that. And we need to remind our children that it comes from God. The blessing comes from God. Life comes from God. Love comes from God. Joy comes from God. Come on. The very food you put on your table, amen, it comes from God. Amen. We don't just pray over our food because it's just a tradition. We pray because, thank God, God has provided. Hallelujah. And when you're at a restaurant, amen, and people are looking at you funny, don't worry about it. Amen. You just need to tell them in a kind, loving way, hey, it's okay. It's from God. It's from God, thank God. He has blessed me and my family. He has blessed our nation. He has blessed us so abundantly. Amen. Oh, it's time we give him thanks. It's time we appreciate what the Lord has done, for he has done great things. He is a wonderful God. He's a wonderful God. Can you say amen? Well, they took this opportunity to do and to cry out to God. You understand? Think about this. They could have remained lepers. They could have remained lepers all of their life. How many knows how bad leprosy is? We don't see that much because we thank God they have things, medicines for that now. We thank God. But you know, leprosy just eats away. It eats away. It eats away of your fingers and toes. It can eat your, I hate to just be graphic, but your ears, your nose. It's a horrible, horrible, horrible disease. And it was so contagious that nobody wanted to be around you. Amen. You know what I think? I thought about, you know, sin is a lot like that. Amen. I didn't say the sinner. I said sin is a lot like that. Yeah. Sin has consequences. Yeah. Sin eats away at the fabric of a person's life. Amen. And because it doesn't immediately destroy them, they think it's okay. But every sin, the Bible said, be not deceived. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. It eats away. And what's happening today is eating away of the fabric of our nation. And you see, what I believe today, what we need is revival. Amen. We need let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Amen. But it eats away. But you know what? I love there's a cure for it. I said there's a cure for sin. Sin is a horrible thing. I want to emphasize this. Sometimes we don't talk about it anymore. But sin is a horrible thing, a deadly thing, a destructive thing. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy, Brother Dave. It's a horrible thing. It is real and it is terrible. Amen. But I like the statement I heard a pastor say up in our area, and I like this. I really like it. He said, life is short, death is sure. Sin is the cause, but Christ is the cure. I don't remember everything, but I remember something. How many is glad that Christ is the cure? Amen. He is the cure for the sinner's heart. He is the cure for the broken in heart. He is the cure for those that are bound in sin and darkness and perversion. Come on, church. And alcoholism and drugs and immorality. Oh, listen, please. I know all those things there. You say, oh, they're just so bad. And they are. That sin is bad. It is true. Oh, but listen, where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. Can I tell you that Calvary is greater than all sin? The blood of Jesus is greater than all my sin. Thank God. Hallelujah. And when I come to the Lord and ask Him to forgive me of my sin, He cleanses me from all unrighteousness. Glory to God. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the cross. Brother, you sung some good songs tonight. I thank God for that. Thank God for the cross. The preaching of the cross is to those that perish foolishness. But to those that believe, brother, it is the power of God to change lives, to change a sinner and cause them to be a saint. Oh, glory to God. Amen. I don't mean this unkindly, and I really don't. I know there's a certain church that believes if you do enough and work enough and all that, one day you might get to be a saint. Amen. They'll write you down. You got to be a saint. I mean, you about killed you to get there, but and maybe it did kill you to get there. And I don't mean to make fun because people believe things. But can I tell you something? The blood of Jesus makes you a child of God. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 3, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And ladies, that's talking about you. You're not left out of that. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. We are the children of God. He is our Father. I said, He is our Father tonight. Hallelujah. The disciples didn't understand when Jesus said, they said, teach us to pray. And He said, pray after this manner. Yeah. Our Father. They'd never heard anything like that before. The priest never told them anything because they didn't understand that. They seen God as a far off God, and He was mighty and powerful. They knew that because He had parted the Red Sea. But Jesus said, pray after this manner. Our Father. Amen. Can I read? I tell you, I think of so many things. In Romans chapter 8, I believe it's chapter 8, I believe. He said, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts that cries, Abba, Father. He is our Father tonight. We reverence Him as God, and He'll always be our God. Amen. But thank God He's also our Heavenly Father. And we love Him tonight. I got to hurry on. I preach all night. Glory to God. Listen, how many knows they had a door of opportunity and they took it? One last thing, and we're going to look at it quickly, but I want you to stay with me, please. And it is in chapter 19 of the same book, Luke chapter 19 and verse 1. Let's look at one more thing quickly tonight. I know you're in revival all week this week. I think so. Luke 19, 1 says, and Jesus entered, listen to this, and passed through Jericho. Here it is again. The Bible said Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, now it wants us to see something, doesn't it? Right? And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, tax collectors, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press because he was little of stature. He was a short guy. And he ran before, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. You see that? He was to pass, not don't go over down up here on the mountain. He is going to pass that way. So what am I going to do? I'm too short. I can't see. I've got no step ladders with me. I'm just being silly. Amen. But you know what? Listen. Faith in God, and really it's God, it's really what it is, always finds the way. Come on. When you ask, you're going to receive. So he wants to see Jesus. He wants to see the Lord. Amen. And so he climbs up into a sycamore tree. And the Bible said he was going to pass by. And when Jesus came to the place, now he's walking along. He's got, now think about this for a minute. You, in your mind, he's walking along. He's got probably thousands of people with him. I mean, at least many hundreds. And he's walking along, and Zacchaeus is up in this tree. And Jesus walking along, probably nobody's thinking much is going to happen. They probably see him up there probably. I'm sure they probably did. He's walking along. When he gets where Zacchaeus is, he stops. Because there's somebody in that crowd that wants to know him.
Amen.
There's somebody in that crowd that wants to know him. Amen. And we find out Jesus answers that cry, but he stops when he comes to that tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now notice this. Catch this phrase. I underline my stuff here. Amen. Notice he said this, for today, a time, a season, an opportunity. Now, I'm not saying people can't get saved anytime. I'm just telling you the Holy Spirit's got to draw them.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I'll just tell you what. I'm just going to wait till the last minute. You better not do that. I'm not saying people get saved on their deathbed. Thank God they do. But there's no guarantee. Because many times people have slipped right out of this world thinking, someday, someday. You know, one of the devil's biggest games, I'm telling you, he's been doing it for a long time, Brother Dave. One of his biggest games is that Satan is always telling people there will be a better time. There will be a better time. You need to get saved. He might not argue with you on that, but not tonight. Not tonight. Amen. There'll be a better time. And it could be. God maybe is very merciful and he may give you a long time, but there's no guarantee. There is no guarantee of tomorrow. Somebody said, you know, we're here today and gone tomorrow. Not quite right. Not quite right. We're here today and we may be gone today. We could slip out. Now, I'm not just trying to scare anybody, but reality is reality. The devil just wants us to go on our merry way like everything is okay. Don't worry about it. The Lord's tugging on your heart, but they'll come a day. First, you need to do this. Now, when you get this done, and when you accomplish this, and when you retire, rah, 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 then I'm sure you'll just serve God with all of your heart. No, I doubt it. Number one, you're going to be old and worn out. I shouldn't have said that. Because I'm at the retirement. I'm getting that. No, I'm not going to retire. I didn't mean that, fella, so don't get mad at me. I respect people that retire when they've worked so hard all their life. But how many knows what I'm saying? I'm just making the point that the enemy always, there's always a better day. Always a better time. Someday you will. Oh, pastor, someday I'm not going to lead service tonight, but someday when I get really spiritual, I'm just going to obey God. No, you're not. Because you're not going to get spiritual until you start obeying him now.
Amen.
I remember, if I can tell this little story quickly, I tell stories. My wife's not here. She tells me I tell too many stories sometimes. But I remember when I first got saved, I was only 18 years old. And like you, brother, the Lord just so changed my heart and life. And I remember as we began to grow in the Lord and in revivals like this, we were so hungry for God. And there were several of us saved. I won't tell you the whole story, but a lot of people were saved in this meeting where I was saved in also. But I remember as I was growing in the Lord and feel, you know, some things in my heart, trying to learn everything I could learn and didn't know very much. But I remember telling the Lord, I said, Lord, and some of you have prayed this prayer, Lord, if whatever you want me to do, if there's anything I can do, I'll do it. Whatever you want me to do. And I don't mean I had to preach. I wasn't preaching then. But I just meant anything, Lord, you know, you'd have me to do. And so anyway, this particular night in our service, we had our devotional service, and they had what you call, you led the devotionals. Anybody know what I mean? And so to me, one of the leaders of the church came up and said, Randy, how about you leading the devotional tonight? That's the way we call it, leading the devotional. I said, no. I didn't say, let's pray about it. I don't know what the Lord's will is, brother. I just said, I'm not going to do this. But I remember, I can still in my mind's eye see the little country church. I had a little porch out front. And I remember walking out there because it was before the service. And I walked out and I remember, I'm sure it was the Holy Spirit. I remembered what I told the Lord.
Amen.
Whatever you want, Lord. And I marched back in there, amen. And I told him, I said, brother, I'll do the best I know to do. And at that time, and I still cry sometimes, but I cried so much. I was so broke, my heart had been changed. And I'd cry a little bit and talk a little bit. Cry a little bit and talk a little bit. But you know what? God got me through it. Amen. And I found out when you begin to do what He tells you to do, He will begin to expand that. Amen. And I'm talking about being a servant. He will use you to serve in other ways also. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. But I found out, listen, when opportunity arises, you've got to discern, is it God? Sometimes it might not be. You've got to discern, is this the Lord that might want me to do this? Is it the Lord that has given me this opportunity, amen, to witness to this person? Is it the Lord that has given me this opportunity to serve? Is it the Lord that has called me? Listen, and you feel in your heart it is, you need to say, yes, Lord. I can't do it by myself. I'm not able to do it. I don't have the ability to do it. I don't have the strength to do it, Lord. Come on. But if you say, come, I'm coming out of the boat. Come on. If you say, come, Lord, I'm coming out of the boat. Now, there may be times I may gurgle a little. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Peter said, he said, come, you know, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Jesus said, come. You gotta admire that guy.
Yeah.
Amen. I can just see all the rest of them in there. Go for it, Peter. You... Praise the Lord. But Jesus told Peter to come. He didn't tell them all to come at that time. Peter stepped out of the boat and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. How many's ever read that part?
Amen.
And he walked on the water to go to Jesus. How many knows you can't walk on the water?
Right.
I don't know. I just feel like I'm going to practice the next time when it comes water walking time. No, I'm being silly tonight. But he knew that. He knew it could only be by the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Amen. And that means nothing. But also he said, I can do all things, Paul said, through Christ that strengthens me. And so if God has called you in some area and you struggle and think, Lord, I can't do it. But he knows that. But he also knows he will help you to do what he has called you to do. Come on, church. Amen. He just asks us to be obedient. I've got to hurry and get done. I will, I promise. But this last part, I think, is one of the most important of all. And this is about the man named Zacchaeus. He is a sinful man. He is a tax collector, and people hate him. I'm just telling you the way it is. Because most tax collectors, the way they made their money then... I'm going to leave that alone. is they ask for more than what they really should have. Let's not go there. But anyway, amen. He was hated by most of the Jewish people because of that. And he was very rich. How many knows God knows the hearts and the needs? Amen. Today, listen, the world can never satisfy the soul. The world can never satisfy the longing in the heart. You can buy things and live in things and all that. It's okay in its right place. Are you with me? But it'll never satisfy the soul. Only Jesus can satisfy the soul. Amen. And I'm glad for this rich man. I'm glad that he looked in the right place. Amen. And the Bible said that he climbed in that tree and waiting on Jesus to pass by. Jesus stops and he says, make haste, Zacchaeus, and come on down. Amen. Today.
Amen.
You know what the Bible says? Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Who can be saved? Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord. This is it. We're living in that day. Thank God we're living in that day. When God sees the heart. See, there may be someone here tonight, and I'm sure all of us are hungry for God. But there may be someone here tonight, and deep down in your heart, you're thinking, God, you've got to do something in my life. He sees. He sees it. And he knows. Amen. He also knows when we're satisfied and we don't want anything. He knows. But he sees the hunger and the thirst. Amen. You know, when I got saved, I God just creates such a hunger in our hearts. Hunger in our hearts. And I would watch the older Christians and how they love the Lord. Now, I was saved in the Methodist church. I've not stayed a Methodist all the years, but I love the Methodist people. Is that okay? I'm still going to anyway. Up at Copeland, we've had many revivals of those great people up there. Amen. But you know what? I remember when I got saved, they were people that they just loved the Lord so much. And I've seen that in a lot of these ladies, especially the ladies. They just love God. I'm talking about older ladies. I'm talking about grandma age. And I thought, Lord, that's what I want. I want a relationship with you that is real.
Amen.
That is real. Amen.
Amen.
I remember, now don't you boys don't have to do this, but I remember they had what they called a family altar, family prayer, and they'd have it almost every service. And them older saints, and my grandmas, two of my grandmas, they were two of them. And they get up and they start shaking hands and hugging necks and singing something. Next thing you knew, somebody got happy. I mean, real stuff. It was the real deal. And somebody'd get happy. And I'm only 18 years old. I'm just a big, young boy. I'd head right to the middle of that. I didn't sit back and say, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to be, no. I want to know what this is all about. And you know what I found out? I found out God fills hungry vessels. Come on, I found out God fills hungry vessels. Amen. And they bless my heart and they still bless my heart today. And so in closing this tonight, amen, maybe we can get a number of song, Pastor, if we can. Amen. But notice this. This last part of this is the greatest of all. This man named Zacchaeus. He is lost without God. He is a sinner. And he knows that Jesus is passing by and it looks like he may not even get to see him. He may not even get to see him. Amen. And I notice sometimes celebrities will come in places and people will flock hoping just to get a view or something. But he just wanted to see him. He didn't ask for anything else really. But God gives the desire of the heart. That's what he does. And he stops. You know the story. I've already said it. Zacchaeus, he's just glad to see him, I think. He's just excited to see Jesus. I would be too, wouldn't you?
Amen.
Amen. But Jesus said, come down, Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus' heart was changed that day.
Amen.
He gave, I believe it was the fourth part to the poor, half of his goods to the poor, I believe it was. And he said, if I've taken anything wrongly, Lord, I'm going to restore it fourfold.
Amen.
And Jesus knew salvation had come.
Amen.
To Zacchaeus' house. Other people didn't understand it yet, but they would. They'd see that there was a difference. Opportunity knocks. Opportunity knocks. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes the enemy sends opportunities to try to get us to take the wrong path. But when an opportunity comes, will you stand with me, please? But when an opportunity comes that God is in the house, and you know in your heart, He's spoken to your heart and said, this is your time. This is your opportunity to come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This is your time. I say, a young lady in our church that I love her still today, but that had gone to church for years, wasn't even saved. I didn't even know it. Because she's such a good girl, you know what I mean? But that doesn't do it. It takes more than that. And but anyway, I don't know tonight what the need might be, but the altar is open. If you feel a need to come and pray, if you have a need in your heart and life, maybe you need to just to come to Jesus tonight. This first night, I think first night or last night was the first night of revival. And whatever, don't make any difference. Amen. If you have a need in your heart tonight, maybe you need prayer tonight. You just need people to help you and pray with you. Amen. We're living in a battle zone tonight. But I believe God is able and He cares about us so much. So if tonight, if you don't know Christ, if you've never really accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, what a wonderful time this would be. Amen. This very first night of revival. I'm going to be quiet. Let them sing. But if you need to make that choice tonight, I urge you. Step out of your seat, come up front, and we want to pray with you and believe God. Amen. How many knows if we call on His name, He said, we will be saved. And so we want to believe with you tonight if you'll do that. As we sing tonight,